Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. Stephen St. John, Nate Bucati, and Jake Gutierrez is now ready to talk about college football with our college football insider, Coach Gary Barnett. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
I'm doing well, fellas. How about things in Kansas City?
Well, all three schools won that we talk about, that we cover, Coach. Kansas on Friday night won in dramatic fashion over South Dakota. Kansas State dominated Stanford, and then Mizzou found a way to get past Central Michigan, favored by 14. They won by 10, but they get the job done. So let's talk about those performances first. I don't think, obviously, by the fans storming the field after the game, it didn't matter who they beat or how they beat them. Kansas just needed to win a football game, and they did it against South Dakota. Your thoughts?
Well, what can you say? You win the game, fans storm it. I mean, it wasn't a convincing win, but it was a win. And right now, you know, I think as Lance Leopold said, we're not looking at style points now. We're just looking, trying to find wins. And so, yeah, it's always good to win your opener. I mean, there were 11 major upsets this last weekend and by teams who did not anticipate losing their opener. And so Kansas won it. And that's what you have to live. That's what you get to live with for the next week. And you know, I know they feel like they have to get better, but it's a lot more fun trying to get better after a win than trying to get better after a loss.
Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly just happy to see them get a win. And I don't have too many expectations in terms of wins and losses for this season for Lance Leipold. He's got to be able to get in there and get his players and install what he wants to, and he had a short season to, or off season to do it. One of the things that did stand out to me, Coach, was Kansas got beat at the line of scrimmage offensively by an FCS school that wasn't real great last year, and that makes me pretty nervous about their ability to win at the line of scrimmage, especially running the football once they start playing, you know, D1 schools here, which they do this weekend. How much improvement can you actually make in that regard, or are you kind of stuck with what you have once the season starts when it comes to, like, the offensive line play?
Well, you can make improvement, but you're not going to make dramatic improvement. I mean, you're going to get better just because it's going to be, you know, you get three more days of practice that week with your guys doing your scheme, and they get three more days of getting used to the speed of the game, and they get a game under their belt, and they're going to get one under their belt this week that's going to be, you know, it'll be a really tough game for them because Coastal Carolina is a really good team. But you can make some improvement. But it comes down. You said they lost the line of scrimmage, and that's true. And it's in today's football, offensive line, defensive line, and quarterback, that's where it pretty much is. And you know, you're going to win or lose based on how well those three groups play. And, you know, so it's going to be a struggle. And that's why, you know, the job was open. And that's why Coach Leipold is there, you know. And so no problems, no jobs. So it's very real. He knows it. You know it. Now let's just watch and see if they get better. I think that's the sure sign of improvement over the course of the years. Of course, the competition is going to get better, but, you know, it is for everybody. And, you know, so they've just got to step it up and learn how to practice against it, hopefully stay healthy and improve and use this year as, and let's see what happens, because anything can happen, and let's just practice hard, go out, put our heads down, and see what happens.
All right, Friday night, as you mentioned, things a little bit different. Facing number 17, Coastal Carolina. Coastal Carolina favored by 25. The game's going to be down in Conway, South Carolina. And 6:30 p.m. kickoff on ESPN2 and Sports Radio 810 WHB. Coastal Carolina's a hell of a football team, Coach. So for Kansas, 25-point underdogs, what about Friday night? What's considered, I don't want to say success, but growth, or what can you hope for if you're a Kansas fan?
Well, I think if you keep it at 25, you know, maybe it's 24, maybe it's 23, maybe it's less than that. But I think that's the way you look at it. I mean, the expectation is that you're going to lose by 25. Well, all right, let's just better that by a point or 2 points. I mean, that's how you got to look at this thing. And you never know. You really never know what's going to happen. And Coastal Carolina is really good. And you guys, we saw them last year against Kansas, and everybody said, oh, no, we're in trouble. We lost to a team like Coastal Carolina. Well, then Carolina ends up being one of the top teams in the country. He played one of the great games of the year against BYU that they were able to put together. So this program is what you aspire to be if you're Kansas, to grow out of nothing to a program that is really well respected. And so this will be a good thing for them to see how it was done and see it can be done.
This is actually going to be the third year they played against each other, by the way.
Yeah.
Coastal Carolina's got the better of the first two, so.
Well, there you go. 3 years ago you beat this team, so that means, you know, it can happen too.
All right, Coach, let's move on to the K-State Wildcats and what a performance they had against Stanford, 24-7. They won that game. What impressed you the most about K-State's performance against the Cardinal?
Well, I think just that you sort of knew going in that these two teams were very similar in the way they like to play. No hurry-up offense. I think there was a total of 97 plays in the whole game. Stanford had 52. Kansas State only had 45. So it was an old, methodical kind of football game that used to play when I was playing. And so they were physical, you know. I think that for them to hang toe-to-toe, and like we described last week about Stanford being the most physical team, or has been the most physical team in that Pac-12 conference, they just went toe-to-toe. You know, they weren't flashy, but they did what they had to do. And it was impressive. You know, they made a lot of yards on first downs. You know, they didn't have hardly, they only had 7 third down attempts. So that means you're doing a really good job on first and second down. And that's a stat I always look at. You know, they had a lot of penalties. Both teams did, through an interception. But I think the most impressive thing is they just went toe to toe down there in a neutral environment and beat what has been a pretty good football team. And Skylar Thompson coming back, you know, that's a great story. And they had a great story on ESPN. I don't know if you saw that, but just the things that nobody really knows that he had to go through to get to that play where he runs over the corner in the end zone to get into the end zone. I think that's a great story. And it's a great story for K-State because, you know, whatever it was 3 years ago that they took a chance on Kleiman, and look what they got now. So just a really good, solid win for Kansas State, I'm sorry.
Somebody asked me, when we look back at this, what kind of win will this be? Look, all you do is you go out and you play who's in front of you. We just don't know week one. But
no.
Stanford, after taking a look at them, do you think they'll end up being a bowl team? Like how good of a win will this end up being when it's all said and done, you think?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Stanford, you know, traded off quarterbacks, and I think that they're not going to do that this week, and I think that might settle them down a little bit. But, you know, they're in a division that really, other than maybe Oregon and Washington, they're in a division where they can, you know, they can do pretty well. I mean, they're going to play Cal, Washington State, Oregon State, Oregon, Washington, and so most of those are teams they can beat. And Oregon, we're not sure how good Oregon is after playing Fresno the way they did. We'll find out more this weekend. But yeah, I mean, they're a team that's probably going to end up winning 7 games at least, maybe 8.
Gary Barnett is our guest. All right, Coach, let's talk about Mizzou. They get the win over Central Michigan, 34-24. And there were, you know, there it was a mixed bag. Again, it's week one, but the good part of the defense, they had 9 sacks, and so they were able to get consistent pressure on the quarterback. Bad part of the defense, they were gashed in the run game. And the team, like the overall total is 39 carries for 174 yards. That's still pretty good for Central Michigan, but that's factoring in the 10 sacks or 9 sacks for minus 67 yards. If you remove that, I mean, they were averaging, they were getting like 8 yards a carry. It was not pretty for a while as far as the run defense. And so I wanted to ask you about the new defensive coordinator, Steve Wilks, who's a longtime NFL coach. And that was somewhat of an unexpected hire, but he was most recently the Cleveland Browns defensive coordinator in 2019. He was briefly the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. Like I said, he coached for a number of years and also had a lot of experience in college as well. Got a new defense, a new defensive coordinator coming back from the NFL. There's going to be a time of adjustment. And so what should we take away from the tremendous pass rush that equaled 9 sacks and the porous run defense against Central Michigan that they certainly can't do again against Kentucky this Saturday?
No, they're going to struggle if that comes into play again like last week. And you're right. They got gashed in the run game, and you know, I got a chance to watch that game, and I don't know whether it's Coach Wilks, you know, returned back to college and seeing the different formations and some of the stuff a little more wide open than what he's used to in the NFL. Certainly, you know, had for the most part better players in the NFL, but and could do some of this stuff. But I think that's really scary the way their defense played, and I think it's something that is a concern and should be a concern now to Coach Drinkwitz and the fans, because like you said, they had 475 yards against them, and that's that's after taking away the yardage on sacks. So they did get gashed. You know, they didn't have very many penalties. That was a good sign. I think 4 penalties, but total. But you know, everybody they're going to play in this league is going to be in their league is going to be able to run the ball, and so they've got to get this thing fixed in the next couple of weeks. You know, they go right to Kentucky, who is a run team. So we're going to find out just you know, how bad that defense was, whether that was indicative of who they're going to be, or whether they were a team that were trying to pin their ears back and just go after sacks and see. But I think it's too early to call, but it's probably all of those things, not just one thing. And the other thing is that was a pretty good offense that Central Michigan runs, and with pretty good players. So look at it a little bit that way. But I would be concerned with those kinds of numbers for sure.
And again, we won't know, like, if Central Michigan ends up, you know, challenging for a MAC title, then we'll look back, okay, that was reasonable. Or they could be really bad. Who knows? But so on the offensive side of the football, Bazelak didn't make any mistakes, 257 and 2 touchdowns. Tyler Beatty had over 200 yards. There was at least 2 or 3 passes that I thought were right there for big plays, and the receivers didn't come up with them. And so they left some yards out there on the table. And so after watching them and watching both sides of the football, they've got a hell of a kicker. He's going to be worth maybe a win or two at some point this season. He's good from 55 in. Based on what you saw, what do you expect this Saturday night in Kentucky? I think Kentucky's favored by 5.5 or 5 points. This is a big game because that's where Barry Odom got in trouble. He couldn't beat Kentucky. Eli Drinkwitz comes in, beats Kentucky last year, and you could really establish yourself as a team that's the third best program in the East if you could beat Kentucky and beat Tennessee and take care of those teams. What do you think of Missouri and Kentucky this Saturday night?
Well, I think there's the must win for Missouri. And the thing they've got to fix offensively is third down conversions. They were 1 of 11 on third down. And, you know, that's scary. And you're right. There were some passes that were real close to being big plays for them that they just didn't convert. And to me, that's the thing they've got to be concerned with, is they've got to have a third down package now that gets them up over that 50%, because that lets you keep the ball, and it's you don't want to turn it over to your defense right now. So they've got to find a way to keep moving the chains And that means I think they've got to have a great third down plan going into this game. You know, Kentucky, you know, favored by 5. You know, I actually thought it was the other way, Stephen, when I looked at it. But, you know, it's tough down there. And if they're favored by 5, it's 3 points of that is the home field advantage. But this is a must win, I think, for them, if they're going to stay alive in that division.
All right, let's look at a couple of other big games in the country, Coach. And one of them is Oregon versus Ohio State. And I'm curious what you think in terms of, you know, can Oregon give the Buckeyes a good game here?
Well, first of all, Fresno State's a really good football team. And so I don't take too much away with the fact that Fresno kept that game pretty close. Fresno plays all those guys on the coast really well. And so, and Oregon's first game. Frankly, I think this is a makings of a heck of a football game. I was impressed with Ohio State's offense and their quarterback as that game started, got going. Early on, he looked shaky, but as the game went on, he showed you why he was starting quarterback. But they got a lot of skill. These two teams are very similar, and they both have a lot of skill. This should be a good football game. I think Ohio State at Ohio State by 14 is certainly fair. I think they're probably a little better than that against Oregon. Minnesota is a really good football team. Minnesota is probably a better football team with Ibrahim, of course, than Oregon is. But so I think quarterback getting a start on their belt and getting the game and coming back the way they did, that they're going to be tough to beat at home. And I think 14 or more is probably right.
Coach, really looking forward to watching Iowa and Iowa State, battle of top 10 teams, 3:30 in Ames. Iowa State favored by 4.5. Who do you like in this showdown?
Well, it started at 4, and it's at 4.5 now. I couldn't believe this number when I saw it, Stephen. You know, Matt Campbell has not beaten Iowa, but all the games have been by 1 point or 2 points, really close games. And when I saw they were favored at Iowa, I couldn't believe it. Or no, it's at Iowa State.
Right.
But, you know, and maybe that's it. But, boy, was Iowa impressive in that opening game against a team that I picked to beat them. So I think Iowa, you know, I'd take the points and run with that one for sure.
I'd say Jake just ran off, by the way,
yeah,
so
he
took
he
your information literally and just says run down the hall at this point. So there he goes.
Hey, I think this is a fun one to watch too for a late night entertainment on a Saturday night, 9:15 local start time. Utah at BYU, and Utah is a 7-point favorite in that one. Could be a future Big 12 team, by the way, in BYU, supposedly. I'm curious what you think of that game.
Well, I think one of the biggest surprises over the weekend was how bad they just barely beat Arizona, who I don't think is a very good team this year. BYU without the quarterback is just not the same team. And Utah's favored. I think Utah wins this game. I like the spread against Utah, but this is always a fun game to watch. You're right, and it's a big game. And but Utah's salty. You know, they are salty, and they're salty on defense. And I think BYU is going to struggle moving the ball on them. So, and you know, we're going to find out Stanford versus USC right out of the bat, too, how good Stanford is when they play at USC that night. But yeah, I like the same game, I especially like that Iowa game, Iowa State game. Don't forget Colorado A&M.
Right,
knows what's going to happen.
That's what I'm asking you there. Number 5, Texas A&M at Colorado. It's going to be at Mile High in Denver. A&M favored by 17. What do you think? Big opportunity for Colorado at Mile High. What's going to happen?
Yeah, it is a big opportunity, and you know they won convincingly by the score, but it wasn't convincingly during the game. They missed a lot of opportunities. The young quarterback missed a lot of chances to make big plays. But it was the first game, and I think that defensively they're better than they were. And I think that this game, I think 17 is too many for A&M, especially for Colorado. Even though this is a home game, it's not really a home game. You know, they play down there, used to play once a year, so it's not really a home field advantage. But, you know, maybe the altitude will make a difference. A&M's really good. Young quarterback, really a good player. And they want to run the football, and they're pretty doggone good at it. They're very skilled. But, you know, it's going to be interesting. Their defense gave up some points and gave up some plays. But, and Colorado is just, they're better than they have been. They're just more solid than they have been. They just need their quarterback to get hot in this game.
Coach, real quick, that game between, between Georgia and Clemson, 10-3 Georgia, how much of that it was great defense from Georgia versus not great offense from Clemson?
Well, that's a bad combination if you have it in that game, and I think that's what you had. I didn't see hardly anything out of Clemson. You know, the quarterback, to me, looked like he was not scared. I don't want to use that term, but he just did not look decisive in that game, and many times he didn't have time to do anything. But you got to go to the other side and look at Georgia to see how good they played. I mean, they were amazing. I mean, amazing how well they played. So I think if I were Clemson, I'd be a little bit alarmed about my offenses. They lost the safety in that game and a wide receiver for the year. I mean, that's a hard way to start a game. You start two physical teams like that, you're going to lose some guys. And but it was a heck of a performance by that defense, that's for sure.
All right, Jake wanted me just to get just clarification on something. Mizzou plus +5, where were we leaning there, Coach?
Jake wants this.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's me. Who knows? It's one of us.
You know what? I think that, I don't know. I wouldn't take that bet.
Yeah. What about, okay. What about another one that caught my eye? What about Texas minus -6.5 at Arkansas?
I think Texas is pretty doggone good.
Okay.
I think that quarterback's good. So I'm taking Texas.
All right, then. Writing it down. All right, Coach, thank you very much for the time. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
We will. Hopefully, we will. I think we're going to. You leaning anywhere now? He said take Iowa, take Iowa in those points and run.
Run.
Do you feel strongly about that? It's time for Matt Campbell to win that game.
I was looking earlier before we talked to Boddicker. They haven't won.
2014, I think. Was
yeah,
the last
2014,
one?
Right.
They now the last
they didn't
couple
play last year, right?
Right, but the last three, you see, 2017 it was 44-41 in overtime. 2018 it was 13-3. 2019 it was 18-17. Iowa's won 5 in a row. It's in Ames. Is it Matt Campbell's time? Or is Coach right? Do you take the points with Iowa and run?
It's a tough one after Iowa's performance last week against Indiana.
Yeah.
Hard pick against them. Yeah. But week one of college football can always be deceiving.
I don't think I liked it. I wanted Coach to say something better about Mizzou, Kentucky, and the points.
Yeah,
I don't want that bet.
I don't know. Iowa State money line might be the play there.
Is that where it is? What about Texas? Give it up 6.5 at Arkansas. Arkansas?
Nope. I'm with Coach on that, Texas.
Arkansas's got better songs, though.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, Texas, I didn't want them to look so good. It looked really good. But I don't root for Arkansas either, so it's just like, you know.
Where's that game at?
Arkansas. Does this answer your question?
So the players don't get to run out of the big ovaries?
What are you talking about?
Oh, you haven't seen that? The new football stadium in Texas?
Nope. I'm just listening to this song. It's a good football song. Jake said they play this when they run on the field. I haven't been there for a game.
They call the hogs out there. They, woo, pig suey.
Do it right. How do they do it? You're telling me? How do they do it?
Pig suey.
I bet they do it better than that.
Yeah, I can't hit that high note now.
Can you do it, Jake? How do they do it?
Woo!
Pig suey.
Call the hog.
David, Tyler.
Oh, yeah.
Elon and Cody.
Let this woman take us to break.
Recovery.
Here's your Arkansas football.
And we love you.
Ready to whip some Texas ass. Who do you root for? Hell, I don't know.
About that game last night.
We'll be back after this woman's beautiful voice on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
There's nowhere in the world that I would rather be than yelling, woo! There's nothing in the world that I would rather see than defeat Alabama 100.